financial institution serving campus and community. The University of Illinois Employees Credit Union. More information available online at uiecu.org.
It's 12:37. This afternoon, we'll begin to see partly cloudy skies and gusty winds as the low-pressure system moves east into Indiana and Ohio this evening. Showers on the backside of the system will drop south into portions of Iowa and northern Illinois. As temperatures drop into the 20s and 30s tonight, the precipitation could change to snow. High temperatures today will range from the upper 30s across southern Wisconsin and southern Michigan to the mid-70s across southeastern Missouri, southern Illinois, and western Kentucky. Lows overnight will range from the upper teens across northern Iowa to the low 40s across southeastern Missouri and western Kentucky. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, partly sunny, with a high in the mid-60s, then the temperature falling into the 50s. It will be breezy with the wind out of the west from 20 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers this evening. Much cooler. Look for a low of 28. The wind out of the north from 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 40. The wind will be from the north at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly clear and cold with a low of 26 and the wind from the northeast at 5 to 10. Friday, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain, the high around 40. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain or snow. Expect a low around 30. The outlook for Saturday, partly sunny with a chance of rain, the high around 40. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from 40 degrees at O'Hare Airport in Chicago to the 70s south. Rockford reported 42 degrees, O'Hare 40. In Bloomington, it was 61, Mattoon 69, Carbondale 72. At South Bend, 42. Lafayette reported 69, as did Indianapolis, 70. At Terre Haute. Willard Airport reported 67 degrees at the top of the hour. The dew point, 46. The relative humidity, 47%. The wind out of the west at 21 miles per hour. The barometric pressure, 29.52 and steady. The sky was mostly sunny. And on the University of Illinois campus at Urbana-Champaign at 12:40, partly sunny, 67 degrees. In some Chicago neighborhoods, children live with a culture of violence that can seep into schools. To counter that, Chicago schools have launched a program called Culture of Calm in 38 troubled high schools. The district hopes the $18 million effort will help reduce violence inside and outside school. Linda Lutton of member station WBEZ reports.
Changing the culture of a place is not an easy assignment. At Manley Career Academy High School on Chicago's poverty-racked west side, a lot of the hard work is happening in room 113, which this year is known as the Peace Room. Student Sherelle Jones is here because she wants to explode.
I'm trying to stay out of trouble because it is my senior year, and I have improved more on my attitude. I have not been in no fights, but arguments, yeah, but no fights.
But today, Sherelle is tested. A boy threw juice on her friend, then hurled an insult. The friend is 8 months pregnant, and the spat turned physical. Now, Peace Room staffer Alana Zafran is trying to keep the fight from going any further.
I know for a fact that there's been other times this year when you felt like that. Maybe not this strongly, but you've been able to stop yourself from doing it, right? So you can control what happens in this situation in terms of the fights, right? What are other things you could do besides get back at this guy and his friends?
A third of Manley's students have visited the Peace Room to resolve conflicts with other students or teachers this year. 80% have come before any physical fight.
So that if a student's starting to get angry, teachers, security staff know this is a space where students can come, we'll de-escalate, talk to them about stuff, and we have the resources to be able to do that around students this year.
Come in. Manley is one of six focus schools getting around $1 million for its culture transformation. The initiative is putting every aspect of the school under a microscope, from the way kids enter the building through just one door this year, to the way Manly reintegrates students who've been out of school because they were shot. Yes, that's something this school has to deal with. Josh Gray coordinates the district's anti-violence initiatives.
You know, when you walk into a school, and you can generally tell within the first 5 or 10 minutes is, does this school have a good culture? And by a good culture, I mean a culture in which learning can take place.
Many Chicago high schools struggle on a daily basis with fights. Some of them become melees outside, after school, like the one in which 16-year-old Darion Albert was beaten to death in 2009. Different schools are taking different paths to their calmer cultures. Some have tightened requirements on uniforms or banned cell phones. One school is isolating its troublemakers in single-sex classrooms, where they stay most of the day. Many of Manly's culture of calm efforts are being led by the Umoja Student Development Corporation, a nonprofit housed inside Manly. And dialing down conflict is a theme. Becca Epstein teaches English and drama. She's been to lots of workshops this year showing teachers how to avoid confrontation with students.
Like, I had this happen to me this morning. I have a girl who was wearing a hat, came into class, and it's as simple as saying, "Hey, good morning, great to see you," and pointing to my head so she knows to take her hat off. And rather than making it a, "You know you're not supposed to have your hat on, take that hat off right now, young lady," you know, removing the negative without it ever becoming a conversation or an issue at all.
Researcher Elaine Allensworth is with the Consortium on Chicago School Research. She says two upcoming studies both show the district is right to focus on school culture.
Schools that are serving the same types of students with the same backgrounds can have very different climates. And what ends up being the most important by far is the quality of relationships that students have with teachers and that teachers have with parents.
Manly wants every kid to connect with at least one adult in the school this year. Advisory periods once a week are meant to foster that and give students a chance to check in. James Walton is Manly's principal.
Good morning. How you doing?
The way I'm able to tell if my school is calm is just stand in the hallway and I just listen. When I can see my security kind of just looking up and down the hall, walking without really having to go to a situation. You know, those kinds of things indicate that, you know, it's a calmer environment.
Walton says culture of calm money has finally allowed him to give students basic services they need this year, like a full-time social worker and psychologist. Walton remembers last year a student found out at Manly that her sibling had just been killed.
But there was no one to take her to. We had nothing. That happened more than one time.
This year, Children's Memorial Hospital is running trauma and anger management groups at school. A mentoring initiative is giving intensive attention to kids who are more likely to get wrapped up in violence. There have been painful reminders this year, though, of what Manly is up against. Walton buried one of his students this fall. He was shot a few miles from school. Walton says he isn't sure whether a calm culture inside Manly can reduce youth violence where it plays out, on the streets.
I don't know what I can do about outside, but what I know I can do is to give you the tools and the mechanisms in my building that maybe you can take outside and begin to utilize.
Manly is on track to cut student misconducts almost in half this year, though some take these numbers with a grain of salt. Culture of calm hadn't even gotten started last May when the district announced a 77% plunge in disciplinary problems at the target schools. Chicago school officials say the University of Chicago's crime lab will ultimately measure whether its efforts are working. Until then, they hope calmer cultures in high schools will stick, even after money for the initiative runs out this summer. For NPR News, I'm Linda Lutton.
Like many other school districts, Hartford, Connecticut rewards schools that perform well and closes schools that perform badly. But Hartford is also a district that allows parents to choose their child's school. As the theory goes, parents should choose good schools over bad ones. But as it turns out, often they don't. Jeff Cohen of member station WNPR has the story.
It's dismissal time outside Moreland School. Kids are throwing snowballs and eating cupcakes. Buses line up and move out. And Alfonso Castillo is walking to pick up his third grade girl. he was disappointed to hear that the school would probably close.
I have never had a problem with this school, and I'd be really disappointed they close it. I don't think this should be the one of the schools that should be closing.
My name is Marisha Simpson. I'm PTO president at Moylan, and I have 4 kids here.
Late last year, Simpson, Castillo, and other parents learned that Moylan was going to be redesigned. That means that the building will stay the same, but everything else will change. All of Moylan's teachers and administrators will be fired and will have to reapply for their jobs. Its old curriculum will be tossed, and a new school will open. It will be called the Expeditionary Learning Academy at Moylan School. The reason? The school's test scores were too low. But Simpson says that what she wants is for the district to improve Moylan, not reorganize it.
If they could just help out with the school that they're in their neighborhood, wouldn't that be better?
What makes this school good for you? Is it
the teachers and the way that they teach.
Even if the numbers aren't good?
Even if the numbers aren't great, they're learning, they're improving.
Hartford is a poor city in a wealthy state, and its students have historically lagged far behind their suburban peers. It's also a city 5 years into a major school reform effort that allows parents to choose which city school their child attends. The reform has led to closing nearly 24 underperforming city schools. Christina Kishimoto is the city's assistant superintendent for secondary schools. She says Moylan has been underperforming for years by federal standards.
We had already given them a year leeway because they had made progress. So we wanted to see if they could sustain that progress. The progress wasn't sustained.
Tell that to PTO President Maisha Simpson. She points out that some of Moylan's numbers were just barely off the mark, and she doesn't want her children to go anywhere else.
I love the schools. I love the teachers. I love the way they teach. I love the way they solve their problems. I love the way they handle things.
Sarah Yatsko knows this sentiment well. She's a researcher from the Center on Reinventing Public Education at the University of Washington and has studied Hartford school reform. At a presentation to the Board of Education earlier this year, Yatsko said that Hartford parents don't always choose the schools the district wants them to.
We saw some schools that were low performing, yet very, very high parent satisfaction rates. That's something that the district should pay attention to and question and wonder about. Because if this model really is to work, you want parents to choose the schools that are the high-performing schools.
Yatsko says that Hartford is far from unique. Parents across the country are slow to choose high-performing schools over popular schools that don't make the grade. She says the job for districts like Hartford is to get more information out to parents. Because, the theory goes, good information makes for better school choices. And that's what people in Hartford are trying to do. The district has just hired an advertising consultant to woo city parents.
Do you want to be in medicine?
And a group of education advocates has built a website to help inform parents about their schools, giving them information from test scores to location to the school's racial makeup.
I choose.
We choose the Hartford Public Schools!
But as she walks her kids home, Maisha Simpson says that more information from the district might change the choices that some parents make, but it won't change hers.
This is where we live. We're going to be here for the rest of our lives.
For